Turn once again to our key passage, Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. And I want to read this portion of Scripture, the words of Jesus Christ, as he gives us these words concerning prayer. Let's start at verse 5. Verse 5 to verse 13. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. As a father, and now as a grandfather, baby lessons have been brought to my attention again. And one lesson concerning babies that I've become aware of once again is that every baby has its agenda. And the agenda is not very long. It's kind of short, but I believe you can summarize the agenda as follows. They eat, sleep, coo, cry, and soil diapers. That's what they do. That's like clockwork. That's their routine. That is typical baby agenda. That's lesson number one. But lesson number two is the one that really has caught my attention lately, again, is that not only is it true that every baby has an agenda, but the baby's agenda comes first. Comes first. So despite what the mother wants to do, whether to sew, to watch TV, to read a book, to pray, that baby will demand attention. And what really captured my heart about 2 weeks ago when Patrice and I were visiting my oldest son, Ross, and spending time with their family and our grands, Beck shared with us a book entitled King Baby. King Baby. And basically, in short, the book is all about the demands that babies place upon parents and anybody. They have an agenda, and the agenda comes first. How true that is, even in our lives. King Richard. I, at times, have had my own agenda, my own wants, what I want to do, where I want to go, and the same is true of you as well. And that sometimes, maybe even many times, has translated itself into our prayer lives, where we begin to use prayer as basically an exercise of asking God what we want. It's all about me. King Richard. My proposition this morning is simple but short, and I think is relevant for everybody here. Prayer isn't a privilege to only be me focused, but to firstly and primarily be kingdom focused. Let me say that again. Prayer is not just a privilege for us to only be me-focused, but is firstly and primarily, a glorious opportunity for us to be kingdom-focused. God has given his children, kingdom kids, if you will, the privilege of aligning their prayers up with his agenda, his kingdom, his will. So in this wonderful prayer that Jesus has given, the Lord's Prayer, literally as Pastor Rob brought to our attention last week, the disciples' prayer, there's a pattern here. It is a model prayer. And today's text, verse 10, we will zero in upon the kingdom focus. But it's interesting to consider this prayer is actually in, can be easily outlined into two parts. The first part, verse 9 and verse 10, God's glory. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Verse 9 and verse 10 is all about God's glory. Your name, your kingdom, your will. But then the second half, verse 11 to verse 13, is man's needs. Man's needs. Give us, forgive us, lead us. Give us this day our daily bread, a request for God's provision. Forgive us of our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. A request for God's pardon. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. A request for God's protection. And we all need that. And we, as the series unfolds, as the Lord leads Pastor Rob and I, we will look at those specifics. But the first part is God's glory. As we align our prayers with his kingdom, his will. Prayer isn't a privilege to only be me-focused, but to be firstly and primarily kingdom-focused. I agree with what Dr. Archer Parrish said, and I quote, "We are to be kingdom-focused when we come before the Father. His concerns must be first and foremost in our minds when we approach him. Effective prayers would be those that call for the kingdom to grow through the work of his people by the power of his spirit." So as we consider today, very briefly, the answer to the question, what is involved in this pattern of prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe it will be seen as we pray in two ways. And the first way is simply this. Your focus in prayer will be for God's rule, reign of power to be accomplished. Your focus in prayer will be for God's rule, reign to be accomplished. Your kingdom come. The Greek word for kingdom is basileia. And I was absolutely stunned by the number of times it is found right in the book of Matthew. 55 times is the most occurrences in any other book in the Bible. And how befitting this is, because, I mean, when you read the Gospels, you have four portraits of Jesus. John, Jesus is presented as the Son of God. And we're going backwards. Luke, Jesus is presented as the Son of Man. Mark, Jesus is presented as a servant. But Matthew, we have him portrayed and presented as the sovereign king. And even also in the book of Matthew, the phrase kingdom of heaven, occurs 32 times. Most certainly, with the first coming of Christ, the king was present. The king had come. But he certainly didn't come as the Jewish nation expected him to come. They were dramatically shocked by the characteristics of the coming of the Son of God. He didn't come as they expected. He didn't come as a king to reign. but as a servant to serve. He didn't come as a conqueror to conquer, but as a savior to save. He didn't come in some spectacular display of power, but in lowliness, simplicity, and even suffering is how he came. Now, as we know, Jesus will come again, and he will come differently. He will come as that reigning king, and he will rule. Now, as we pray, your kingdom come, this involves praying for God's rule of power to be accomplished in two senses, really. And the first one is the primary sense that we have that's taught, I believe, in this part of the Lord's Prayer. Two senses. First is in the future. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. And what does that involve? It involves us praying for God's program of the eternal deity to be fulfilled, for Christ to come and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It was true of the Jewish people during that day. When they would hear the word kingdom, that's what would come to their mind, is this future reign, as the prophets foretold in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7, in Isaiah chapter 11, in Jeremiah chapter 23, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And I love where it says there, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. That's the focus. Thy kingdom come. Come. Longing for that day when everything will be placed at his feet. Complete rule, regardless of your system of eschatology, that we believe and embrace. One day, that day will happen when the eternal kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ will be established. New heavens, new earth. What a day that will be. Your kingdom come in the future. But there's another tense. Because as we engage in praying your kingdom come, we cannot ignore the fact that when Jesus did come, the first coming, one of the primary messages that we find that John the Baptist preached and he preached was the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. Matthew 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why? The king is here. I'm here. There is a spiritual kingdom. So as we pray your kingdom come, it involves us also considering what's happening right now. There's a spiritual kingdom that we desire to be advanced. To be advanced. And regardless of what the condition of the person or who the person is, during that day to this day, as one places their faith alone in Jesus alone, by grace alone, they can experience becoming a part of the spiritual kingdom of God. You'll be amazed at the number of times you have in the gospel the emphasis on not just the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. The kingdom, becoming a part of the kingdom, coming underneath God's reign and rule spiritually right now. So as we pray, thy kingdom come, we are asking and longing for God. Yes, that day when that will happen, when Jesus will come, the consummation of all things and everything will be in complete submission to him. But right now, four people, men, women, boys, and girls, to repent and believe and become a part of the spiritual kingdom of God. And be able to say, like the Apostle Paul said in one of my favorite verses in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul said, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That happened to me at the age of 14. I was in the kingdom of darkness, which is the case of every person who's not saved, who hasn't accepted Jesus. That's the kingdom you were born in because of being a child of Adam. But until you place your faith in Christ alone, not works, Christ alone, you will always remain in that kingdom. But the privilege, the glorious privilege, once you repent and believe, you can be transferred and become a part of the spiritual kingdom. So I can declare, I can say, as well as many of you today, I am a child of God who's a part of the kingdom of God. And one day, I will experience that eternal kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ and all those who love him. What we're praying, this part of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, look like. Your focus in prayer will be for God's rule of power to be accomplished in the future. Yes, but in a sense right now in the presence. But secondly, your focus in prayer will be for God's righteous plan to be accomplished. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. What is God's righteous plan? Simply his will. His will. His will. Yesterday, as I was sitting in the living room, I looked over in the corner, and all of a sudden what captivated my attention was this box here. 300-piece puzzle box. And laid out was 300 pieces. And some person in our home, my wonderful wife, had started, actually yesterday, this personal project of putting together this puzzle. Well, I think she would agree that without the design plan, it would be pretty difficult for her to put together this puzzle. Because she would not be able to see the overall plan, the design plan. And as I was sharing with her this morning, is that isn't it true that with every puzzle, every piece has a purpose? And the divine plan is the big picture. Can you imagine? If the pieces had life. And here's peace right here at the corner, trying to do its own thing, its will, which is not according to the designer's will. So it wants to fit itself over here. And the other piece wants to fit here, and it's not working. Because as we know, with every puzzle, each piece has been designed to fit in a certain way, according to the big picture, the design plan. So really, in essence, you could say that the purpose of every piece that needs to be accomplished is each piece needs to be committed to do simply this, to submit to fit. To submit to fit. I mean, that's the purpose of every piece, is to submit to fit. If each piece was alive. What is God's ultimate purpose for our lives? As we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's happening in heaven? What's happening? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there complete submission to the will of God? I mean, I could go through a long list of just sins that I know is not in heaven. But I don't need to do that because I know there's one word to describe what's happening in heaven right now, in the abode of God, where the angels are in all of God's order. Submission. Submission. And so in short, in summary, I believe what God's desire as we pray this part of the Lord's Prayer, our desire should be, Lord, I want to see your righteous plan, your will accomplished. Where? Where? In the arena or the areas of life like family relationships, work, our nation. May your will be done right now on earth, right now in our nation, as it is in heaven. What's in heaven? Submission, order, justice. May your will be done in Pinehurst community, in the community where each one of us live. Your will be done right here as it is in heaven. May your will be done as this person, that person is facing persecution, or maybe some physical problem or ailment. May your will be done in his or her life as it is in heaven. May they submit willingly to your purposes. Now, praying this prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as Tim Keller points out, and many others, well-known speakers these days, have preached from this passage, and I agree wholeheartedly, it arrests our attitude, because sometimes our will is in conflict with God's will, and we have to submit like Jesus submitted, not my will, but your will be done, in the Garden of Gethsemane. So to pray this prayer is not just for others, for God's will to be done out there, but in here. Praying for his will to be accomplished. Gracious Father, where unrighteousness abounds, replace it with righteousness. Where hatred is rampant, replace it with love. Where infidelity exists, replace it with fidelity. Where anger is unleashed, replace it with tenderness, Lord. Where deceitfulness prevails, replace it with honesty and integrity. Where words of condemnation cuts down, replace it with words of edification. Where rebellion stands tall, replace it, Lord, with submission. Where fear imprisons, replace it with faith and courage. Where spiritual apathy sickens, replace it with spiritual zeal and enthusiasm. Lord, where unbiblical traditions rule, replace it with biblical truth and practice. Lord, where Jesus doesn't reign, may he reign right now in the hearts of people. That should be our prayer. That should be our prayer. I submit to you that life is full of lists. And I know even this week some of you have put together your list. Maybe your grocery list, your to-do list, a job search list, a wish list, a guest list. And yes, the honey-do list. We will not talk about that. But I hope nobody has a blacklist, you know, any. But people, they operate based upon lists. But there's one list that should exceed and surpass all of the list. It is the prayer list. The prayer list. And I close with bringing to your attention the prayer list is because I believe each one of us should have one. And here's your prayer list. 10 prayer requests. But based upon this sermon, I trust that you get the point. Is that we recognize the relationship as we enter into prayer, Heavenly Father. We remember the relationship. Then we remember to reverence him. Hallowed be your name. And as we will see, we need to remember to rely upon him to provide, to pardon, and protect. But we also are to remember what really matters most, what's on his heart, should be at the top of our list. The kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom. Your kingdom. Your will. And so at the top of my list, your list, if we will, we need to be kingdom focused. Take the word focus, the letters, F-O-C-U-S. Here is a challenge for you as I am receiving it. F, faith-based ministries and missions. That's kingdom work. Faith-based ministries and missions. O, obedient followers of Christ, as you pray for that brother, that sister, that pastor, that missionary, that Christian worker, that they would be obedient and courageous in sharing the gospel and being fervent in spirit, enthusiastic about the work of God. See, church growth. That's kingdom work. Numerical growth of the church, the spiritual growth of Arsenal Hill, of Centennial, of First Press, of First Baptist, the church, every church. You, unity in diversity among God's people, that's definitely kingdom work. And on the heart of God, unity in love and commitment across racial lines and other distinctives. But finally, last but not least, F-O-C-U-S, the salvation of souls. The salvation of souls. I saw a young lady walking yesterday. Don't know her at all. Carrying a baby. She looked very young. I don't know her circumstances. But immediately I did something that I started doing years ago. And the Spirit of God led me to do it. I prayed for her. I just prayed in general. Just pray for her. Pray that if she's not a Christian, not in the kingdom, in the kingdom of God, living according to the kingdom way, as it's laid out clearly in the Sermon on the Mount, and the book of Matthew and other places in the New Testament as a whole, that she would come under the rule of God. And that she will become a kingdom seeker, seeking first the kingdom and its righteousness. Will you not do that this week? Pray for the salvation of that brother, that sister, that father, that mother, that co-worker, that neighbor, that they would become a Christian and become a part of the kingdom of God, the church of Jesus Christ. Well, I end by saying, having this list, that list can be life-changing, definitely life-changing. As it has been said, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. So pray and keep on praying. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your word that speaks to us and challenges us. I pray that we will be hearers, not just hearers only, but doers of your word. Help us to be able to apply this message to our lives, that we would certainly be kingdom focused to pray for the advancement of your kingdom, to long and pray for the ultimate rule of Jesus Christ, reign of Christ, that will come. As your word tells us, what a day that will be. Help us, Lord, to just be kingdom seekers, to seek first your kingdom, your rule and reign in our lives, submitting completely. To submit, may submission be our mission, so that we will glorify you and experience the good that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, for this prayer, wonderful model prayer. Help it to motivate us. Help it to encourage us. Help it to impact our lives today and right now. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray.